Right. Good morning, Every Nation Church Malaysia. Are you glad to be back in the house of the Lord? You don't sound so excited. Come on. Are you glad to be back in the house of the Lord? All right. That sounds much, much better. You know, every time when I come to church, right, I feel so excited, you know. I come with an expectant heart that God will, you know, somehow speak to me and touch me, either through the worship, you know. Wasn't worship amazing just now? Come on, let's give the worship team another clap. You know, they spend so much time, you know, preparing to help us to bring us into God's presence, right? And you know, I believe that somehow God will touch us along the way. Yep. And I bring greetings from Every Nation Church Setia Alam as well. You know, our service is on Saturday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And after 8 p.m., we have makan, all right? We have fellowship. You know, so if you happen to be in that area in Setia Alam, do come and join us. You know, visit us at Saturday, 7 to 8 p.m., all right? Anyway, today I'm going to continue on with a series called Prayer Is. Yeah, we started this series like about 3 weeks ago, and last week we had a break, or 4 weeks ago, right? And last week we had a break, and Pastor Sean came and shared about how we as Malaysians, we are blessed, the country is blessed as well, and to pray for our nation. And you know, it really helps me to give me a perspective as to who I am as a Malaysian. You know, and I believe that, you know, it's the same thing for all of you all, right? And today, as I continue on with our Prayer Is series, you know, I will touch a little bit about trusting God. Okay, and before that, you know, this series is actually taken from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. So if we can all rise to our feet to say the Lord's Prayer, yeah? Why I say and not read is because I want you all to say it as a prayer to the Lord. Can we do that, church? All right. Okay, if everybody's ready, we shall do it. 1, 2, 3. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for teaching us to pray this prayer, Father Lord. God, as you heard your people here today praying this prayer, I pray, Lord, and ask, God, that you will come, touch our hearts with your people, O Lord. And as our hearts are open, Father, we pray you teach us to trust in you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. You may take your seats. All right. So I was mentioning, you know, today I want to share with you about trusting God. So my topic today will be taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, okay, which is part of the Lord's Prayer, which says this: give us to this day our daily bread. How many of you had your daily bread already, your breakfast? Hands up, right? Okay, great. You know, those of you who have not, probably you will get a little bit more meaning as why I'm saying this. Because when I say, give us this day, right? You know, when I read this verse, the first thing that actually dawned on me was when Jesus said, give us this day, it means that today we have not received our portion yet. So we have not had our food yet for today, right? But then again, you know, it's not just about food. Yeah, it goes beyond that. Why I say this? Because if you look at when Jesus says our daily bread, right? He's talking about sufficiency. You know, not only in food, but also in our spirit, mental health, you know, in our physical health, our finances, and all, you know. And when Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread," right, what he's saying is, in the first place, we have nothing, and we're coming to God for blessings for today, for to receive from Him for today, you know. So that, you know, tells in us a little bit about how to trust in God. Yeah, in our walk with Him, you know, we are starting off with nothing and we're trusting God to give us something for today. You know, and I want to share with you today to give you a little bit of context, you know, on this verse. A group of people in the Bible who trusted God in providing for them on a daily basis. And this group of people, they know everything about bread because they are, okay, the Israelites in the wilderness. If you have your Bibles, you can actually turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. We will read from verse 1 to verse 5. If not, you can just look at the screen, yeah? Okay, reading from verse 1. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. So this means that when the Israelites, they left Egypt at the time, okay, they arrived at the place called Wilderness of Sin, 1.5 months later, okay, 15th day of the second month, 1.5 months later. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel, They grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. You know, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Continue on from verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day, when the people, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." Yeah. So you can see this group of Israelites. To me, right, when I look at Moses, I find that he's a very patient man. And, you know, probably because he really loved God's people. It's not easy, you know, to handle people grumbling, correct? You know, if you have children, two or three children, all together whining and grumbling at the same time, oh, you really get lost, you know, on how you want to manage them, correct? And at the same time, right, imagine if, let's say, you go on a holiday and you bring your extended family, so there are like 10, 15 people together, right? And you bring them to a holiday and you say, okay, let's go to this place for lunch. And then somebody says, oh no, I think that place is better, has better food. Then somebody says, no, I want to go there, I want to eat that. And then when you go visit some place, right, they say, hey, I want to go here to this mall. They say, no, I want to go swimming. No, I want to go hiking. Then it's like so, you know, so difficult for you all to actually manage a group of people, right? And Moses and Aaron, they were handling the Israelites, the whole group of Israelites. And you know how many of them there are? In Exodus chapter 12, verse 37, it says that there are 600,000 men. 600,000 men, excluding women and children. So if you want to know how many of them, right, it's just an estimate. If one man have one wife and two children, then there will be 2.4 million people. 2.4 million people. You are leading a group of 2.4 million people. And this group of people are not easy. Because why? If you read from Exodus chapter 1 to 16, they grumble, they complain, they cry out. Wow, I tell you, sometimes two, three children grumbling and whining also is enough to get you on your nerves, right? But Moses had to deal with 2.4 million people. Not easy to manage. Because if you see, in Exodus chapter 1 and 2, while they were in Egypt, what were they doing? They were complaining to God. Say, God, the Egyptians, they're treating us like slaves. We are suffering. Bring us out from this place. Deliver us. God, help us. And what did God do? God heard their grumbling. God heard their complaining. God sent a deliverer. Moses came after 10 plagues, brought them out of Egypt. Happy. Yeah, we are getting out of Egypt. We are being delivered. Thank you, Lord. And then they come to the Red Sea. And then when they turn around, they see the Egyptians coming after them. What did they do? They complain again, right? They complain again. Because if you see in Exodus, right, chapter 14, they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wow. Hello? You were the one, right, crying out to God. Save us, deliver us, get us out of Egypt. And now you're out of Egypt. Then you say, oh, I want to go back to Egypt. You know, sometimes humans are like that, right? It's so hard to please, you know. When it's cold, say, oh, yo, I wish it was hotter. And then when it's hot, say, oh, yo, why so hot one? Can't it be colder? Right? And these are the Israelites. They're like that. You know, they keep on complaining. Then what happened? God says, ask Moses, put up the staff, and the Red Sea parted. Then they walked through. Wow, God's miracle. After the 10 plagues, they saw God's miracle. And then now they see another miracle. They walk through the Red Sea. Beautiful path laid down in front of them on the two sides, the walls of the sea and all, right? And then after that, when they passed the Red Sea, the sea closed up on the Egyptians. And they turned around and said, yeah, God delivered us. Yeah, God saved us. And they were happy. And then they continued traveling and they came to a place called Marah. And the water was bitter. And what happened? They complained again. Apa ini? Pahitnya. So bitter. And then that's why they got angry. That's why marah lah, right? They scolded. No, they said, hey, why is it like this? You know, and then what happened? God told Moses, take a piece of wood, throw in the water, and then it became drinkable. Then they drank. Then they continued on their journey, and they came to this place called Wilderness of Sin. And then they complained again. Hungry, God, hungry. Moses, you know why you bring us here? We were in Egypt. We had pots of meat. Sat down there, eat. You know, then we can eat bread too until we are full, you know, so full. Sometimes, right, you think about it, wow. When is the complaining going to stop? You know, when is the complaining going to stop? They complain, they grumble, you know, they cry out. You know, and you know, they continue to do that. And you know what? You know what, church? God heard them. God heard them. Which brings me to my first point. God hears us when we cry out to Him. You know, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, right, it says here, God heard their groaning. It's not even God heard their praying, you know. God heard their groaning. What we can see here is that, you know, in our times of needs, in the circumstances that we are facing, be it spiritual needs, physical needs, financial needs, mental, relational, you know, when we have all these needs, do we go to God or do we groan like the Israelites? We groan most of the time, right? You know, it's like children, you know. Have you been to a shopping mall and then you see a kid whining there, da, 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 I want this, I want it, correct? You know, when you're faced with that, right, you feel like, okay, shh, bye, right? A lot of times, right, parents, they give in because they just don't want to cause a scene. But you know, over here, right, God did not give in because He didn't want to cause a scene. God gave in because God loved them. And the same love that God has for the Israelites, God has for all of us here. You know, God has for all of us here. And is it easier, do you think, that if we get down on our knees to pray and ask God, do you think it's easier for God to answer us rather than for us to, you know, whine and groan and all those things, right? You know, imagine the kid grinding, grumbling and you know, screaming in the mall. Or, you know, I remember when my younger daughter was pretty young that time, you know, she was probably around 3 years old. She took me to DIY. I didn't know, you know, for the life of me that DIY has toys. I thought it was just hardware, you know. So I said, oh, okay, good. I want to go and buy some nails and stuff like that and screws, you know. And she just patiently walked with me in the first aisle, second aisle. Then she brought me to the last aisle. She said, Dad, follow me. And then I went with her, you know. And then at the end of the aisle, I realized, wow, so much toy. She went straight up to this diary. Pink color, you know, with some glitters here and there, and very nice, you know, diary for girls, they will love it. She take the thing and then she go, Dad, can I have it, please? You know, with the puppy dog eyes, you know, please, can I have it? I really love it, can I have it? Wow, your heart also melt, right? So if you go to God like that, God, please, God, I need help, can you help me? I think, you know, you not only move God's heart, you will move His hands as well. All right? So remember, church, when we go to God, there's so many ways we can go to Him. We can groan, we can whine, we can complain, we can grumble. God will hear us also. But the best way to go to Him is to get down on our knees and pray. When you pray, God hears us. Amen? And when God hears you, He also remembers. My second point here is this. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. You know, when these Israelites cry out to them, you know, the first thing I did was, okay, I want to know how far away these Israelites are to Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. You all know that Joseph, who is the son of Jacob, was sold into slavery and brought to Egypt, correct? And these are direct descendants of Joseph, probably 1 to 2 generations. Because between Joseph going to Egypt, or the Israelites living in Egypt, to the time they leave Egypt, right, is about 420 years. Okay, 420 years. So probably there's about 2, maximum 3 generations. Yeah. Okay, so from Abraham all the way down to the Israelites who were complaining and left Egypt, right, is about what? 5, 6 generations maximum? Okay, so they are still pretty close, right? What I'm trying to say is this, you know, imagine if my daughter, right, okay, she comes to me, she goes and pray, you know, God, okay, she asks, God, I want to ask you. And when God hears her, she remembers. She remembers the promises that God made to me, Terrence, my daughter's father. And God remembers his promises made to Joseph, my father. My dad's name is Joseph, okay? Not this Joseph, but my dad's name is Joseph. Okay, and God also remembers his promises to my grandfather, Michael. Because my grandfather is a Christian, my dad is a Christian. You know, I'm a Christian, my daughter is a Christian. And God remembers the promises he made. And you know what, church? I want to tell you this, you know. The fact that we are sitting here as Christians, the fact that we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we share in that inheritance with Jesus, with God. And if we share in that inheritance, we are considered children, correct? And God remembers his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And same thing, that promise we can claim as well. We can claim as well. So remember, church, when you pray, God also remember. He not only hears us, he remembers. Okay, he remembers. And when he remembers, what does he do? He provides. God provides for us. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, Lord said to Moses, okay, I'll stop here for a while. Why did Lord say to Moses and not to the Israelites? You know why? Because Moses was interceding on behalf of the Israelites. Interceding on behalf of the Israelites. If God can answer someone, okay, who is interceding, what more God answer to you directly? We are living in the New Testament times, you know. We are living after Jesus. And because Jesus died on the cross, right, today we have direct access to God. We don't have to go through an interceder. We don't have to go through a deliverer. We don't have to go through someone in between. We can just go direct to God and ask God, God, this is what I'm going through in my life. God, this is what I am going through. Can you please help me? Can you please help me? And God's promises are always yes and? Yes and what? Yes and amen, right? Let me give you an example. Every month, I give my daughter an allowance, right? I give her an allowance. I give her and I will tell her, if you don't have enough, just let me know, okay? Daddy will give you more. Don't worry. So being a responsible child that my daughter is, right, she will not try to overspend. She will try to budget in between. But sometimes, you know, she wants to celebrate, you know, get good results, want to go celebrate with her friends or somebody's birthday, or, you know, right, recently one of her friends, his dad passed away, so she went, and then she also gave, white gold pakam, right? You know, so when things like this happen, you know, once in a while, once out of blue moon, right, your pocket money not enough. Okay, she has two things that she can do. Number one, she can whine and grumble. Aiya, this month, so many expenses, all these things happening, I got not enough money already, and now, left one more week already, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'm going to eat bread also, but eat bread also is so expensive nowadays, right? Correct or not? Ngai mimbao is no more easy, you know, they say. You know, bread is so expensive. What am I going to do? Yeah, my dad only give me this much money. She can do that. Or, she can come to me. Dad, not enough. Can give me more. And you know, as a loving father, as a responsible father, what do? I give, correct? Because that's my promise to her. What more our Father in heaven, who has promised to Abraham, promised to Isaac, promised to Jacob, promised to all the Israelites, the descendants and all, that God will bless, God will hear, God will provide. If we learn to cry out to God, God will provide. If you go back to the verse, give us this day our daily bread. You know, the Greek word used in daily bread, the word daily, right, is epiosios, which means necessary for today only. Necessary for today only. In Exodus 16, verse 5, right, just now we read, on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Why twice? Because for the first 5 days, they gather for one portion. Okay, one portion. What happens if they gather more? It will spoil, worms comes out. Okay? So we have people trying to gather more, and the food spoil. The manna spoil, worms came out. And after that, on the sixth day, God's instruction is on the sixth day, you can gather twice as much more, because on the seventh day is a day of rest. On the seventh day is a day that we give it back to God. That is why on the sixth day, they can gather twice as much. And what happened to the manna? What happened to the bread? It didn't spoil. No worms came out of it. If you read this, right, you will know one thing. When God provides, he provides you that you will have no lack. See, I mentioned this now, right? No lack. You will have no lack. But God will also not give you extra, so much extra that you start boasting. Oh, it is I, it is me that have, you know, managed to gain all these things. You know, God doesn't do that. God wants to give you that you have no lack, that He can bring you, and that you can continue to trust in Him. He is just so amazing. Just so amazing. You know, that as you learn to trust in Him, as you put your faith in Him, your hope in Him, and trust in Him, God will provide. God will provide. So remember, when you pray church, first thing you know is that God hears us. Second is God remembers. And when He remembers, He provides. Hear, remember, provide. You have H, you have R, you have P. If you cannot remember these three words, just remember, your prayer is a high-resolution prayer to the Lord. You know what high-resolution means, right? Wow, crystal clear, you can hear. Right? So your prayer is a high-resolution prayer to the Lord. He hears every single detail of our prayer in clarity, clearly. You know, I want to share with you this before we end, right? Many years ago, when I started working, okay? So as we start working, right, our salary is not very high, correct? It's just enough to get us by, and we're trying to like stinch a little bit to save, you know? And what happened was, there was this particular month where we had a few weddings, a few funerals, you know, like four weddings and a funeral. How many of you watched the movie Four Weddings and a Funeral? Okay, I know how old you all are. Okay? So it happened in that month, right, there was a couple of weddings, a couple of funerals, and by the middle of the month, right, I realized that I don't have enough money to last me for the rest of the month before my next salary. At the time, my wife, at the time she was my girlfriend, okay, now she's my ex-girlfriend. Okay, so what happened was, the time we were courting, right, and I picked her up from my from her house, so I had a bike. I didn't even have a car then. I had a bike. I picked up from the house, and I asked her, "Hey, how much do you have, you know, in your wallet or in your bank?" And she said, "Not enough to last for the whole month." Right? And we used to work in the same branch, you know. Y'all know I work in a bank, right? So my wife used to work in the bank, and we used to work in the same branch. So we decided, said, "Okay, let's think of how we want to save enough, you know, to last for the week until we get our next salary." And as we were going to work, you know, we're just thinking about it. And when we reached our office, right, we got down, then we walked into the office, we opened the door, walked into the banking hall as we go inside. Then one of our friends, he was so excited, he said, hey, check your account. He was so excited. He said, why don't you check your account? It's the middle of the month. He said, no, check your account. So we got in, you know, we settled down, we turned on the computer, we logged in, then we check our account. Yeah, check. How come got a few hundred ringgit inside there, extra? This is extra money. My wife also had, I also had. Then we were like, what happened? Why would the bank pay us in the middle of the month, right? And we checked and we found out, you know, when we work in the bank will ask us, hey, if you can try to sell some credit cards and things like that. So we sold credit cards to customers, right? And for every card we get, we got like 20, 30 ringgit per card. That was the proof. And the bank, for the first time, and also the very last time, decided to pay that money on that day. Because they never do it again. The next round, right, is on salary day. You know, God is just so amazing. If you know, sometimes we don't even have to cry out to God, God, I don't have enough, you know, God, help me, you know, and all those things. As long as we are righteous, you know, as long as we live a life that honors God, God sees us as well. That is how we can learn to trust in God. You know, we were just thinking, you know, wow, how are we going to survive? But you know what? Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. A lot of times we always stop at, seek first the kingdom of God and all this will be added to you. No, church, there is an and His righteousness. It has to be in accordance with God's will and everything will be added to us. Amen? So, how does trusting God look like for you in this season of your life? You may be going through different circumstances in your life. You may be going through challenges in your life. You know, it can be in various forms, yeah? How are you learning to trust God? How are you learning to trust God in this season of your life? And you know what? More importantly, what do you do with the provisions or the blessings that God gives to you? I always say this, you know, God blesses so that we can be a blessing. God gives us financial, God bless us financially so that we can be a blessing to those who are in need. God give us skills so that we can bless people who require the skills that we have. God bless us with strong mental health so that we can help those who are weak. What are we doing with what God has given us? I think this is something that is really, really important. And as we learn to trust God, church, I always say this, the best way to learn is to learn from the best, and none other than David, a man after God's heart. And you know what? One of the Psalms that I really love to read is this, Psalms 23. It goes to show how much David knows God. Yeah? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, as you read these Psalms, one thing is very clear. David knew who his God is. Do you? Do you know who your God is? Even in the presence of his enemies, he's not afraid because he knows God has prepared a table for him. That is how much David knew who God is. That is how much David trusted God. That is how much David leaned on God. Church, I want to encourage you today as we close, right? Whatever circumstances that you're going through, whatever challenges that you're going through in your life, as we learn to trust God, as we learn to lean on Him and believe that He will provide daily for us, you know what? Things will become much clearer. The clouds, the dark clouds, will move away. Amen? Let us just bow our heads, you know. Spend a little bit of time, you know, to just thank God. Do a self-reflection of all the good things that God has done for you. How, you know, sometimes you have whined, you have grumbled, you have complained, and yet God answers us. You know, and how we knelt down on our knees and pray, God answers us. He's there for us, church. He is there for us. Trust in Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Every heart and every mind. As I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Church, why don't we stand?
Come on, church, let's stand to our feet and sing a song to Him. Speak the name of Jesus into our lives.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
So God, to speak your name.
Till every dark addiction starts to break.
Come on, Lord Jesus.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. We sing your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold.
Lord, today. So people stand here, oh God, and as they have prayer, the Lord's prayer, believing, Lord, that, Lord, you are here. Trusting in you, oh Lord, I just pray and ask, oh God, that you will fill them, oh God, that you will touch their hearts, oh God, as they learn to trust in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.